Welcome to Modern Signed Books. If you're interested in what makes your favorite authors tick, then you'll love hearing what they have to say in our interviews. Learn how they got started writing, the books and authors that inspired them, and much more. Meet today's hottest authors as they discuss their lives and writing with art book specialist, Roger Nichols. And don't forget to pick up a copy of your favorite books at bjbooks.com. Here's Roger.
Good morning and welcome to Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Roger Nichols. Today, we're pleased to welcome back one of our favorites, Jeffrey Deaver. He is the international number one best-selling author who has more than 50 million books worldwide. His books are sold in 150 countries, translated into 25 languages. His first novel, of course, featuring Lincoln Ryan, The Bone Collector, made into a major motion picture starring Denzel Washington and Angelina Jolie. He's received or been shortlisted in, I can't believe how many awards, just a huge quantity. Just take our word for it. It would be amazing enough, but Jeffrey Deaver is what you call a value-added author. He has written a James Bond novel, appeared as a corrupt reporter in his favorite soap opera, As the World Turns, and been a lyricist for a country western album. He also happens to be a former attorney, and he is the president of the Mystery Writers of America. We first had the opportunity to talk with him 5 years ago in 2013 about his novel A Kill Room, followed by The Steel Kiss in 2016, last year with The Burial Hour, and now he is back with the latest, The Cutting Edge, featuring his beloved characters, forensic detectives Lincoln Rhyme and Amelia Sex. Good morning and welcome.
Well, hi, Roger. Great to talk to you again.
Yeah. Now, I'm going into analysis here already, just right off the bat, but this struck me. Alfred Hitchcock once said that instead of a dark and stormy night, he preferred murder by the babbling brook. The quote is, you can have the most idyllic scene. You can have the tiny little waterfalls over the stones, and there's a victim lying with a head in the water. No blood, because the blood's all been washed away. So in a sense, The Cutting Edge is a similar startling juxtaposition because it begins with a triple murder of a diamond merchant's office, but the perpetrator leaves behind the gems and becomes clear that the target's not the gems, but the engaged couple themselves when they're at their most vulnerable. And that strikes me as in that same kind of Hitchcockian flavor.
Well, first of all, thank you for mentioning Hitchcock in the same breath with my work. Hitchcock is a god to me. His films were, first of all, very economical. They were short. Mm-hmm. We see a lot of bloated special effects films nowadays, but that's not Hitchcock. And also, he was very tame with the amount of violence he showed. He believed in suspense, mm-hmm. not gore. And films nowadays they're pretty heavy with the artificial blood and a lot of gross scenes and so forth. But yeah. I just kind of like that cleaner emotional engagement of Hitchcockian suspense. And it's true, what I look for to set my scenes in are those moments when we're vulnerable, when we're happy, when we're not really thinking that something terrible is going to happen. And I was just kind of running through the scenarios, and what about a couple getting engaged and maybe buying an engagement ring or talking to a wedding planner or looking over the venue where they'll set their wonderful nuptials, and some sick and twisted character is lurking behind them for reasons that might be revenge or might be something else entirely, and he's going to basically destroy their lives.
Yeah. If I've counted correctly, this is number 14 featuring.
That's Lincoln? Correct. Yes.
Okay, great.
In the Lincoln Rhyme series, right. Yeah, it's about my 40th book, but it's 14th in the Lincoln Rhyme series.
And yet you've got to have some kind of secret for refreshing yourself because, at 14, let's face it, some series are getting pretty stale, but this one seems like a deep dive every time you go in, something really radical and fun. So. What do you do in the off time to clear your mind, I guess?
Well, I don't really have a lot of off time because I enjoy, I make it sound like I'm chained to my computer, and it's not that way at all. I love telling stories, and even after all these years, I wake up every morning thinking, am I going to give my readers something that's fun? Which is what this should be. I mean, a moment ago, if you listen to my description, it does sound pretty sick and twisted, but readers can pretty much guess that although there is a little bit of shenanigans and gunplay and so forth in the books, that there's probably going to be a fairly happy resolution. Not to say that there won't be some victims along the way, but I really work hard to give the my readers something that's just an exciting time. And so I think very hard about that. And the idea that I have to, go dwell in the darkness and spend hours or days or weeks coming up from the depths of horror, that's not really the way I work. It's, to me, it's a job, and I want to, craft a story that I think will work for everybody. And then at the end of the day, I say, okay, time for a beer, and then I sit down with a beer, and I think, oh, I've got another good idea. so I'm back to the... back to the computer. But just let me say this about the genesis of the book, though. I always have that hook. For instance, you mentioned The Kill Room, and that was about Lincoln Rhyme tracking down a who we thought was a serial killer, turned out to be an assassin who was killing people at the behest of the government. Well, it's kind of a political theme there. Mm-hmm. And my book, The Steel Kiss, was about the dangers of smart products. That's a Wi-Fi enabled product in our household. And I thought, diamonds, I've never done diamonds before. And that really gave me the hook for the cutting edge.
Well, and again, here's a title that's perfectly suited to multiple meanings. I love those. So cutting edge, because you do, and the fact that you divvied the book up into the five sections corresponding to the five stages of shaping the diamonds, which begins with plotting, which I think is absolutely perfect for you.
Well, thank you. Yes, there's plotting, and then there's cutting, and then faceting, or doing the final work on it. Each one of those sections represents a day in the life or potential death of a young man, Vimal Lahori, who is a South Asian diamond cutter in New York City, who witnesses the crime that you mentioned in your opening remarks. And much of the book is this sick and twisted fellow who is tracking down Vimal, trying to kill him, because he was a witness, and Vimal trying to get away, and also avoiding the police for various reasons that become obvious in the book. And so that's the the general scenario of the story.
Now, at one point, you talk about releasing the soul of the stone, and I realize that what you're doing is releasing the soul of the story all the way through.
Well, thank you. Yes, that's a reference to Michelangelo, this Vimal, who is one of the main characters in The Cutting Edge. He finds himself in an odd predicament. As I learned, doing a great deal of research, the tradition of diamond cutting is often passed down within families. Mm-hmm. And although Vimal is a superb diamond cutter, a diamond tear, it's called, he doesn't want to do that. He actually finds the creation of jewelry, cosmetic jewelry, a bit insulting to a stone. He wants to be a sculptor in marble or other stones, out of granite, a la Michelangelo. And so this creates a great deal of conflict for him with his family. And he holds up Michelangelo, who would look at a piece of stone and understand that there is a sculptor in there. But his job was to set it free. It was not to create something. And I love that metaphor. And Vimal goes through exactly the same thing.
Mm-hmm. You have a wonderful ability to throw these little sentences in there that echo with meaning. And one of the things that I also enjoyed was it, in regards to cryptic crossword editors, they can lie and be completely honest at the same time. And that's a description of what you do, in a way.
Exactly. Cryptic crossword, one of the characters is fascinated with these very complicated crossword puzzles that require solving puzzles as well.
Yes.
As well as, finding the ultimate clue, the 15 down or whatever that might be. And I when I saw that, I thought, yes, you know what? I think that really is what I do. In the same way that I wrote a book a few years ago called The Vanished Man about an illusionist. And I thought, you know what? I do the same thing. I kind of misdirect readers in this way or that way. I make them focus on the right hand, and in fact, the left hand is where the real clue is hiding.
Mm-hmm. You're a magician of sorts. Just pay no attention to the man behind the curtain, as it were.
Yeah, exactly. And everybody looks behind the curtain.
Of course. And sometimes, there's another one that struck me as I was going through it. It says, sometimes you close a case through DNA and trace evidence, sometimes from a bead of sweat. And I found that fascinating, too.
Yeah, I have learned a great deal about the process of criminal investigation over the years. Mostly through the Lincoln Ryan books, which are what we call police procedurals, in effect. Unlike the amateur sleuth, the Agatha Christie character. Those are wonderful books. I just kind of fell into the crime scene side of police procedurals, and I've learned so much about the process. And if anybody who's seen any reality TV nowadays or documentary TV know the brilliance of the scientific criminal investigation process, but then there's also that other side of the simply, I don't know how it happens, but I'm going to go out in the field, I'm going to walk up and down, and through that effort and that bit of intuition, solve the crime, or if not actually solve the crime, at least get that brilliant lead that we hadn't expected. And I always like the interplay between Lincoln and Amelia, because Lincoln is the scientific fellow, you know, the cold rationalist, and Amelia is I would say emotive. She's the one gets into the crime scene, and there's a very harrowing moment in the Cutting Edge where she's stymied, and what she does is she goes into the mind of this terrible killer, a fellow named Rostov, and she says, okay, now I'm going to have to be him. And it's a very difficult thing to do, because when she steps into his mind, she becomes the killer, and she's there where the bodies are located. And she said, I've just killed these people, but now I need to do something else. What on earth is it that drives me to turn this way instead of that way? And she realizes, oh, there's a witness. And now she's thinking, I've got to find this witness. I've got to kill him. And it's that she's thinking, he has to find the witness and kill the witness. I, Amelia Sachs, have to do it. And it's a very harrowing scene that takes a lot out of her.
Right, and that's fairly early in the book, too. And it was one I was going to ask you about, so I'm glad you brought it up for me. But it was. When she becomes the perp, it's frightening, because she has to take on all of that, not just you know, skim it. She has to be it for a while. That's frightening instead. And I wonder, something else that she does, of course, she hurts herself from time to time. And sometimes you write, she lives on the edge in many senses. And is that a reaction sometimes to the pain of being those other people?
Oh, yeah. She's a complicated character. And one of my favorites in fiction, she's, I think you'd mentioned the double duty, sometimes my titles do.
Yes.
Well, Edge and Edgy, the Cutting Edge, and of course, the Edge of Diamonds and Edge of Stones and Cutting, because it's about cutting stones and maybe cutting something else. Right. But the Edge is someplace Amelia lives on, and she, as readers who are familiar with her, or if you saw the film, The Bone Collector, you'll know she is really driven. She drives very fast. She takes a lot of chances. She's a competitive shooter. And she really needs to kind of escape from this sense of emotional claustrophobia. And why that is, you can, find that throughout the prior books. It's not a huge, she was not terribly traumatized in her youth or anything like that. It's just kind of the way she is. And it's the pushing herself that leads her into some very dangerous situations, including a run-in with, believe it or not, an earthquake in New York City, which is something you don't think about, but is apparent. In my research, I found a real possibility and could have, very bad consequences.
Yes, indeed. And fascinating aspect. And there are twists and turns, as you would expect from a Jeffrey Deaver novel, and they are delicious. I will say this as a fan. You've got me a couple of times out of the blue, and I went, oh, that changes everything. Thank you. I appreciate it.
I do love
that.
My twists and turns, that's for sure.
You would do it. In fact, speaking of twists and turns, you write at one point about Amelia says, if anything could distract her was the act of downshifting out of a hairpin, fourth to second, skidding into a straightaway, then urging the screaming engine to push the needle, the speedometer to three digits. That sounds like fun. some days.
Well, I've done my share of. I have a kind of fast car, so I've done a little bit of that. But I'm not as brave as she is. That's for sure.
Those tickets get pretty expensive. I know eventually. So, well, hey,
I add on the track. If any officers are listening, on the track.
Only on the track. Yes, absolutely.
Right.
Okay. I probably need to wind up here pretty quickly. But is there anything we haven't asked you about this particular book you want to make sure that our listeners know about?
No, I don't think so, Roger. I mean, I think we've covered everything quite well. It's I guess I'll simply say that there's another Lincoln Rhyme book in the works, and as well as a couple other projects I'm working on. I'm not quite near retiring yet, so we've got a few more books and some short stories I'm working on right at the moment as well.
Great. Well, delighted to hear. And when you do, please come back and talk to us again, because we love talking with you.
Always enjoy it.
All right. Our guest this morning, Jeffrey Deaver. The book is The Cutting Edge, his latest in his series on Lincoln Rhyme and Amelia Sachs. Thanks so much for joining us today and being generous with your time.
Oh, thank you, Roger. Yeah, you take care now.
Thank you for listening to Modern Sign Books. Make sure to follow and comment on who you would like to hear next. Feel free to check out our other author interviews. And visit vjbooks.com to pick up signed copies of all of your favorite books.